Will Republican frontrunner Donald Trump be the target in tonight's final Republican presidential candidates debate before next week's Super Tuesday voting, when the most delegates are up for grabs? His two main competitors, Ted Cruz and Marco Rubio, have each been criticized for their kid gloves approach to Trump. And today, the Washington Post published its second anti-Trump editorial this week. This one headlined, "GOP leaders, you must do everything in your power to stop Trump." Sounds like panic.
Although I guess nobody listened to them last time. They said the exact same thing. Well, we are joined now to talk about that and much more by Here Now political analyst Paris Denard, a Republican strategist. Hi, Paris.
Hello, hello, hello.
And Democratic strategist Jamal Simmons is with us as well. Hi, Jamal.
Hi, how are you?
Doing well. And Paris, let me start with you. With the mood in the Republican Party right now, as it starts to look like Donald Trump could very well be, may well be, the nominee of the party, the establishment seems to be getting very nervous.
You know, Jeremy, the establishment wing of the party is nervous about it, because I believe there's a growing consensus that he doesn't have what it takes to win the general. They see that he has the momentum, he has the money, and looks like he has the infrastructure to go all the way, especially in Super Tuesday, which would mean he would get all the delegates. But when it comes to winning the general, it's a different question. And so what a lot of people are trying to do is figure out how the establishment can come together and get Rubio to be more centered up front, get him the money that he needs and the infrastructure that he needs, so that there could be a strong effort to take out Trump collectively, not just one-on-one.
Although unclear if that's going to happen.
And Paris, would you just explain, why do they feel that in the general election he might not win? I mean, if you look at what's happening now, he's barnstorming.
Yeah, there's a consensus that, first of all, they say he's not a conservative. That's one claim that they'll say, that he's not a conservative. They say on some of the issues, he goes back and forth and he doesn't give specific policy answers. And so that is a problem for a lot of the people in the establishment wing of the party who feel he's just hijacking the election, is not a quote unquote serious candidate.
Well, the New York Times listed some of the places where, you know, he's at odds with GOP orthodoxy on free trade, on Planned Parenthood. He said it was a good thing. This is Donald Trump. On the Affordable Care Act mandate, which he said he was for and then against. But you talked about possibly people getting together. The leading Republican, Trent Franks of Arizona, today talked about the letter that began circulating yesterday urging Ted Cruz or Marco Rubio to join together. Now, today he said he doesn't want anyone to drop out, but maybe one would decide to be president and one would, you know, be vice president.
I think I saw that movie once. It was a comedy.
Here is Trent Franks, though, on CNN, taking this very seriously and talking about why, talking about Donald Trump.
I believe that he represents a danger, a strong danger of us electing Hillary Clinton for president. And for the sake of my children, and for the sake of the future of this country, I must do what I can. And I pray these men look at the numbers and look at reality and do the statesmanlike thing to do what's necessary to see that this republic continues for future generations.
Jamal, how does this look to you?
Wow, that's pretty devastating. He's worried about the future of the republic for future generations. I think that's the thing most people are worried about when it comes to Donald Trump. You know, he's a very entertaining guy. Someone called him the other day. I think Ted Cruz called him a carnival barker, P.T. Barnum.
Which he said he loves, by the way. Donald Trump loves that comparison. But go ahead.
which says something, right? And I think that's the problem. He doesn't know anything about policy. He doesn't have a temperament for dealing with world leaders. He is in many ways like this combination of Silvio Berlusconi from Italy and Marine Le Pen from France. And you put the two of them together and it's almost like an Eastern European strongman with media and money behind him.
But he's been winning, though. Yes. Jamal, are you worried that he would beat Hillary Clinton or Bernie Sanders in a general election?
No, the only thing I'm worried about is that he will ruin our reputation around the world before he gets beaten in November. I think the American public takes the presidency very seriously. And even if you look at what's happening in the Republican Party, it's still 30, 40, let's say it's 50% of the Republican Party goes along with it. The Republican Party is a minority party in this country when you think about presidential elections. They haven't won the popular vote in the presidential election except one time out of the last six presidential elections. So I think the American public will kind of come to its senses when it comes time to look at Donald
Trump. Jamal Simmons, again, a Democratic strategist, just stay there for one second, because as Jeremy said, he is winning. He is speaking to something that people are responding to, and he's doing it in a way that we haven't seen in years. Somebody running for office, he's not a politician, a businessman, but a politician in this case, he's become one, who is speaking off the cuff. He doesn't feel robotic. He doesn't feel like he's doing talking points. Isn't there
I will say.
But he's not saying anything.
Well, but stay with the way he's saying
it. Anti-Hillary Clinton.
But isn't there something the Democratic Party needs to learn from this?
Well, I do think Hillary can learn something from him, and she also could learn this from Bernie. Hillary has a policy for every problem, but what she doesn't have is a vision for where she wants to take the country, at least not one that she's willing to say. I'm not sure she doesn't have one, but she's not communicating one to the American public. And so for most people, when you hear a different policy every day, it's very hard for you to understand how all those things fit together. And that's the challenge, I think, for her campaign, is to figure out a way to weave that together in a very simple story that most people can understand.
Look, at the end of the day, the people on the GOP side, my party, that the ones that are voting in these primaries and caucuses, they like the message of Donald Trump and they like the messenger. On the other side, for Hillary, they don't know what the message is and they don't really feel comfortable with the messenger. That's something she's going to have to overcome.
Although she did do better than Bernie Sanders in the Nevada caucus. So we'll have to see what happens with that. I want to play the two people that the establishment feel could go up against Trump. Here's Ted Cruz, who was at the forum last night, the Fox News town hall, and he sort of made a dig at Trump, who did not attend.
You know, an awful lot of people speculate that he hasn't made nearly as much money as he said. Who knows? Because he doesn't release his tax returns. But, I do think Mitt has a good point that the voters are entitled to know before they vote, because you better believe the Democrats, if there's anything in there, the Democrats are going to go to town on this.
Okay. And then here's Marco Rubio in the forum last night when he was asked about the anti-Muslim rhetoric that Trump has put into the race with his call for a ban on Muslims entering the country.
We already have a president that's incredibly divisive. We should not be pitting and dividing Americans against each other. And I agree that I think we are capable of recognizing the threat of radical Islam without having to demonize an entire religion.
So the conventional wisdom seems to be at this point that Rubio has to win Florida at least and that Cruz has to win Texas at least. But don't they have to win a lot more of that between now and March 15th, Paris?
They absolutely do. And that is the conundrum that we're faced with, that just winning Florida, just winning Texas is not enough. They have to do significantly better. They have to do Michigan and they have to win Michigan. They have to and Ted Cruz has to do well in the SEC primary because that's where his appeal is. And as you move out of that into March 15th and beyond, his strong those aren't good states for him. And so it is a problem moving in for them to say, what is your path to victory looking at the delegates? And when they're proportional, Donald Trump's numbers are so significant that even if they do well, it's not good enough.
Yeah. We heard Ted Cruz there responding to Mitt Romney's call for Donald Trump to release his tax returns because he said there might be a bombshell in there. And Cruz alluded to it that Trump doesn't make as much as he says, maybe $5 billion instead of $10 billion. To many people, that'll still be a lot of money. Or that Trump does not give to the causes he says he gives to, like the veterans. But Jamal Simmons, again, the Democratic strategist, doesn't this underscore that Hillary Clinton's been asked to release the transcripts of the speeches that she's given to Wall Street firms? Does she have to do that?
Well, I think every candidate should have to do all the same thing. So the reason why the Trump IRS tax issue exists is because most candidates who run for president release their tax returns. It's a common thing that people do. Most candidates don't release texts of the speeches they gave to private organizations.
Which is what she said.
And if they do that, then she should do that as well.
Okay. What about the South Carolina primary coming up before Super Tuesday? It's this weekend for the Democrats. Jamal, do you expect that it's going to be what people are saying it's going to be, which is a blowout by Hillary Clinton? Or what if Bernie Sanders comes very close?
I don't think it's going to be a blowout. The Sanders campaign is investing a lot of money. They're putting a lot of staff on the ground in South Carolina. I think that Hillary Clinton wins South Carolina, but I think Bernie Sanders will probably do a little better than what people think. The problem for him is he doesn't have a great deal of traction among older African-American voters. So the question is, how many students and young people under the age of 35 can he get to show up? And they typically are not the greatest turnout population, but if he can get them to show up, he'll do very well.
Well, actually, let's ask you about that and people, students and people under 35 that you just referenced are going to be maybe angry that I'm asking it. But there seems to be a sense that something just happened, that Bernie Sanders might have lost his mojo, his momentum. Do you agree?
I think it has been tough for him. Not winning Nevada was a big blow. Had he won Nevada, I think he would be coming into South Carolina with a big head of steam and probably would have surprised people.
Yeah. Well, we got, we've got the primaries coming up. And afterwards, let's just be reminded, after this Super Tuesday, is it winner take all on the Republican side? And what does that mean, Paris?
After that, most of them are winner take all, and it becomes a delegate race. And then what you have to think about on the GOP side is going into the convention. Why are these other candidates not getting out? It's because they can take some delegates with them and don't have to release them. And so they can go to the convention.
I have said this. I have said we're going to have two brokered conventions in July.
I don't know.
I said it last summer.
It's going to be a different picture next week and the week after.
That's true.
We'll be following it. Here and now, political analyst Paris Denard, Republican strategist and Democratic strategist Jamal Simmons. Thanks to both of you.
Thanks, guys.
It's our pleasure.
Thanks for having me.